Hey everybody, Shai here. Before we get started on today's show, I just want to tell you we're doing something we've never done before. On Friday, March 20th at 7 p.m. here at the WHYY studios, The Y is going to do a live show. That's right, live. We'll be talking about the sound of Philadelphia, Philly's homegrown musical genre, and how it's in danger of being forgotten. And we're going to have live music. You can find out more at whyy.org/events. Okay, back to today's episode. Last year, the oldest oil refinery in the country, Philadelphia Energy Solutions in South Philadelphia, had a major explosion, shut down, and declared bankruptcy. Now, it looks like that refinery could be gone for good. A judge approved a bankruptcy plan that includes selling the complex to a company called Hilco. The plans they submitted don't include keeping the refinery going. So what do you do with a heavily polluted piece of land bigger than Center City? And why are we looking at a long road to recovery for the former refinery? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why.
I'm Catalina Jaramillo. I'm an environmental reporter for WHYY.
How long has this refinery been around?
The refinery has been in South Philly since 1870. Back then, it was called the Atlantic Petroleum Company, and it was one of the first refineries in the country because the first oil drilling in the States happened in West Pennsylvania in 1859.
So basically, the story is that Philadelphia emerged as a petroleum hub in the second half of the 19th century.
I talked to Carola Hein. She's a professor at the University of Technology in Delft, that's in the Netherlands. She has studied the ways that refineries have shaped cities around the world. And she spent 15 years here in Philadelphia before going to the Netherlands.
Already in 1866, 7 petroleum storage facilities and 6 refineries were active in the city. And by 1891, 50% of the world's illuminating fuel came from the 360-acre Atlantic refinery.
What is interesting is that this is all before cars even came into the picture. With cars, refineries grew all over the world, and the one in Philly also expanded. Hein says that by looking at old maps, by 1940, the refinery already owned all the land that it owns now, which is 1,300 acres.
Wow.
That's the size of the greater Center City, like considering like from river to river.
From the Delaware River to the Schuylkill.
Right.
And why is it closing now after all these years?
The refinery has been losing money for years. In 2012, Sunoco, who owned the refinery by then, wanted to close the refinery. But with the help of different investors and public subsidies, finally the refinery was saved and PES, Philadelphia Energy Solutions, was created. Initially, they were able to stay afloat, but then in 2018, they declared bankruptcy. They emerged from bankruptcy later that year, but then, of course, came the fire.
A fire breaking out and a massive explosion at Philadelphia Energy Solutions refinery in Philadelphia. PES runs a 335,000 barrels a day refinery there. It is the largest and oldest oil refinery on the East Coast. Philadelphia fire officials say that one...
And the fire was really the tipping point. Tell me about that.
The fire was on June 21st of last year. A week after that, the company announced it will shut down operations and lay off about 1,000 employees. A month later, in July, PES filed for bankruptcy again. At bankruptcy court, PES lawyers tell the judge that recovering from this fire was going to be very difficult because they lost almost 50% of their capacity. The fire destroyed a critical unit on the Girard Point refinery, which is one of the 2 refineries in the complex. After a long bankruptcy process, a judge recently approved the PES reorganization plan, which includes selling the refinery to Hilco Redevelopment Partners, a Chicago-based developer with, and this is important, no plans to reopen the refinery.
Right.
That we know of.
But that deal isn't finalized yet, right?
Right. The sale isn't officially closed yet. And the deadline for that is May 31st. Until then, Hilco could technically back out before that point. But the city expects it to move forward. And if that happens, it's going to be a really big deal for Philadelphia.
And why is that? Why is it such a big deal for Philadelphia?
When for one thing, this is a really big piece of land that is changing from heavy industrial to light industrial, so something cleaner. Every time you come from the airport, every time a tourist comes to Philadelphia, first thing they see is the refinery. Second is that this is the oldest refinery still operating in the East Coast and in the world. So it has an historic relevance. We have to remember, too, that the end of the refinery is a tragedy for those who one day had a job there and then had nothing to do. Many former refinery workers are still unemployed. On the flip side, the refinery was the biggest stationary polluter in Philadelphia. So this could be a major reduction in air pollution. Residents who didn't want a refinery there because of pollution are happy.
We smell gas all the time. I had to put blankets at the bottom of my door. I'm living in fear in my house.
Sonia Sanders, who have been living there in the area for 47 years, now she says that fear has lifted. But before any of this happens, the land has to be cleaned up.
When we come back,
we have to consider that in 50 years, we'll probably have better technologies and capacity to remediate polluted land like this.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with Plan Philly reporter Catalina Jaramillo about what's going to happen to the now-shuttered PES refinery in Philadelphia. Catalina, what does it take to clean up an oil refinery the size of Center City?
And that has been there for over 150 years. And we have to consider that regulation like the Clean Air Act or the Clean Water Act only came in the 1960s. So this is a really polluted area. There's plenty of benzene, which causes cancer, and several other dangerous chemicals and pollutants. So when we talk about cleanup, we're really talking about a very pricey environmental remediation of the soil and the water that has been receiving these toxic pollutants for years.
Right, so lots of pollutants, lots of toxic chemicals. Who cleans this stuff up?
So simply put, Sunoco, the refinery previous owner, has been in a cleanup process for decades under the supervision of state and federal environmental regulators. But that was under the pretense that it was an oil refinery, and it was going to continue being a refinery.
And that might not be the case now.
If this is not going to be a refinery anymore, things change. There's going to be a need for further studies to see what pollution exists under the refinery, and the standard of the remediation, how clean it needs to be, will also need to change, because it's different to clean for a refinery use than to a cleaner use, like what Hilco plans to do, which is mix industrial and commercial.
Right. And I'd assume even cleaner for housing or a park or something like that.
Right. We're not talking of residential here at all. Not now.
And what does this cleanup even entail?
There are different methods. One basically is to treat the soil or remove it and put it somewhere safely. And the other one is to cap it, basically kind of like put a lid on it or isolate it so it doesn't reach humans or the environment.
Who pays for that?
By contract, Sunoco is responsible for all the pollution on the site before 2012, which is when they sold it to PES. And PES, and now the new owner, Hilco, would be responsible of everything after 2012. But again, that was considering that this site was going to continue being a refinery. So what PES, Hilco, Sunoco, the Department of Environmental Protection, and EPA are trying to solve now is exactly that question.
Hmm. And what about the actual refinery, like the buildings and tanks? If they're not going to be there anymore, who deals with all of that?
Hilco. And if Hilco chooses to remove the structures, they will have to be dismantled and demolished. I spoke with Marvin Schlanger, a retired executive who spent years in the refinery and petrochemical business. He says this process can take something between 3 or 4 years, but it really depends on how much money the company wants to put into it.
There's above ground equipment, there's above ground infrastructure, and there's underground infrastructure that all has to be dealt with in a safe and environmentally sound manner.
He says every piece of equipment, every pipe, every tank has to be tested to make sure there's no gasoline, crude oil, or gases such as butane, propane, or methane inside of them, so it's safe. Then, if the owner decides to sell the equipment for parts, it could take longer because you need to find potential buyers for them. Or they could also sell them for scrap, which is a little faster. Once the equipment is clear, you're left with the above-ground structures and the underground pipes and sewers. Some of them could be reused, and others will need to be demolished.
Can we look to anywhere else to see how this process actually plays out? Like, has this happened before?
Yes, totally.
RG Steel sold the plant at auction to the Hilco Company, a company not known for making steel, but for liquidating assets.
And Hilco, the company buying the Phil refinery, has gone through a very similar process in Baltimore. 8 years ago, the company bought Sparrows Point, which was home of an 100-year-old steel plant. The site was also heavily polluted there, but it was double the size than the one here.
They have indicated that they are going to liquidate every remaining asset and bring the structure down to the ground.
According to the Baltimore Sun, hundreds of people went to the site and also bought online all kinds of stuff, from old cabinets to snowblowers to steel, and then they demolished the remaining structure. What was interesting to me was to find that the Maryland Department of the Environment fined the owner with over $4 million in penalties for pollution violations that happened during the teardown of the buildings.
Wow.
So environmental regulators here will have to keep an eye on that.
Right. And once that's all done, what do we know about Hilco's plans for the site in Philadelphia?
We have to be clear here that we haven't heard directly from Hilco yet. So this could still be a refinery if they choose to sublease a space for that. Mm. But the purchase agreement with PES says they want to transform the site into, quote, a trimodal industrial park with ancillary commercial uses.
Huh.
Hilco is a company that specializes in redeveloping obsolete industrial sites. In Baltimore, for example, they turned that steel plant into a huge logistic and distribution center with tenants that include Amazon, Home Depot, FedEx, but also a greenhouse and offshore wind energy.
What does the potential closing of this plant mean in terms of energy and the environment?
That's very interesting, Shai. The refinery business, and in particular this refinery, has been challenged for a number of years as a result of a shift to natural gas and renewable energy, like wind and solar. I also spoke with Mark Allen Hughes, the director of the University of Pennsylvania's Climate Center for Energy Policy. He sees this transition as an opportunity for Philadelphia.
Rather than being a poster child for what the world is turning away from, we can now be a poster child for where the world is going.
So he and others are thinking what could exist in this site in the future, let's say like in 50 years more. So right now, there's a plan, like the Drexel Lindy Institute for Urban Innovation is creating a public plan with people commenting and filling surveys of what do they imagine. The director, Harry Steinberg, told me there could be neighborhoods there. There could be parks, even playgrounds there.
It might take time, and there might be an evolution from shallow uses or low-impact uses to ultimately uses where kids can kind of eat off the playground floor, so to speak.
So they're thinking now that in 50 years, this could be a very different looking place.
Right. And we have to consider that in 50 years, we'll probably have better technologies and capacity to remediate polluted land like this. And also, like, this is prime location, if you think about it. This is right on the waterfront, and it's a huge piece of land. So potentially, it could become a totally different thing if investors think it's worth it.
Thank you, Catalina.
Thank you, Shay.
Catalina Jaramillo is a reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Buffy Gorilla, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Find me on Twitter at Shai Ben-Yakov. See you tomorrow.